I rang you the other day, and
but yeah, this is interesting. This is
unusual.
No, well, what's interesting about I don't know why.
I never ring you. No, I do ring you a bit.
But no, we tend to go in when we tend to go into the little things we're doing for the day rather than important issues.
Yeah, big issues. And
so you'll be going, I'm down the.
Oh, down the shops.
Down the shops, or I'll be saying, I'm just about to wash the car. Or
yeah, often you're sitting in your car by the beach having a nap.
Is it okay? you were there the other day when the guy knocked on the window?
The school kid knocked on your window. I saw Russell Coyne sitting in his car by himself by the beach, sir. Oh, you seem so sorry from that car song.
Yeah,
so
is he being inappropriate? He could have been. Yeah, I'm not sure.
Imagine that interrupting your nap. What, he wanted you to sign something?
Yeah, well, I was talking to you on the phone. He came in and he gave it the knock on the window.
Yeah, and that would startle me. It's like a cop.
Yeah. And I do put the seat back a bit, and on a sunny day, we'll.
Yeah, but you had your sunglasses on, probably, did you? And
yeah, I had the Russell Coit hat sitting on the back seat.
It was the Russell Coit official car you were driving around.
The four wheel drive
with the merch in the back.
Why are we talking about that?
Anyway, I rang you and you're either in a baby shop, you're going to a baby Bunting to buy a pram.
My stepdaughter's having a baby with her partner.
And, that's exciting.
We spoke about that the other day. And
Bunting.
Yeah.
How was it?
So I said, I'm going to buy a pram today. And you went, bang, Baby Bunting. Now, is that a national
franchise? I don't know if it's a national brand, but it's a big Victorian brand.
It's IKEA for babies.
They're on the stock exchange.
Baby? Now, hang on. And explain me this. Baby
Bunting.
Bunting. What's bunting?
Bunting is that stuff that you hang up little flags.
Car yards.
Yeah, that's bunting.
But why would you say baby? Because it rhymes with baby?
It's a great name, though. Baby Bunting.
Because it rhymes.
Listen to that.
Baby Bunting.
It's great. Like Car City or I'm trying to think of KFC. It's good. Baby Bunting. Anyway.
It rolls up. Anyway.
How was the, because I've spent many.
You've spent many hours
in Baby Bunting.
In actual Baby Bunting?
Yeah, bought the pram from Baby Bunting.
Well, I did take a back seat because there was four of us. So Alex and I did actually take a back seat.
Did you end up just hanging out by the rattles and someone comes like, can I help you? Oh, I'm with them. I'm with them, those women over
you
there.
You know what I did do? Because, you know, they've got those baby, those chairs that for feeding. They rock. Chairs.
Yeah.
I found a really good one. I was just rocked in it for a while. And then I thought, this is really comfortable.
Yeah.
And then I saw another one and thought, I'll go and rock for that. And then I closed my eyes. Luckily, you rang. You rang, didn't you, when I was there? Oh, no, anyway. So that probably looked in a little bit appropriate because they were doing.
You should buy a feeding chair just for yourself. Can I get one of those feeding chairs? Oh, you.
Do rocking chairs still exist?
Can you buy them, yeah. I don't know where from.
Do you reckon rocking is good with babies?
Definitely. Rocked my second child a lot.
But how did you rock
just in a chair. I'm doing it now, just in a chair or standing up, rocking. She loved to be rocked.
So that just gave a sense of...
they love it. Yeah, they love it.
Contentment.
And in the pram, pushing it back and forth, back and forth.
God, you're a good father.
I did a lot of that pram work. What sort of pram did you buy? Because see, these days...
We bought...
Prams are changed.
I don't want to brag, but I think we went...
Top of the line?
Top of the line.
Yeah.
Because it's got the combo...
Emalunga. Hang on, I'll try to think of the ones that are around.
Oh.
Did you buy an Emalunga?
No. But
Urban... We had the Urban something. We had a three-wheeler. How many wheels? Four or three? There was a big argument. Four. Oh, yeah, you had a four one.
Surely you can't take a corner with three.
No, three is good. That's the Urban Buggy. That's what we had, the Urban Buggy. Good for jogging, the guy said when he sold it to me.
Nothing more embarrassing when you're going for a walk and then someone passes you jogging with a pram.
Yeah,
let's say I'm jogging and you get passed by someone jogging with a pram.
And is there anywhere, actually my partner made a good point, tell them get a pram where there's somewhere to put the shopping.
Well, they had the extra tray. They had the extra tray on the bottom. They let the dog, because they've got an Italian greyhound, they were going to let the dog sleep under there.
Oh, yeah, right.
Because the dog is not a big walkie doggy.
Yeah, right.
It's like it's.
Oh, yeah, that's intense. Good.
But it does the thing where it is this interesting? The bassinet comes out and that goes in the car and the rest folds up.
Oh, that's good.
So you've got the option. And
that's really good. The bassinet used to be separate in my day.
So there's pushers and there's prams.
Yeah,
prams. So pushers are when they sit up.
Yeah. That's, but some prams you can sit up in.
Some prams you can spin
turn
around.
It into a pusher.
Yeah. Yeah.
My one you could turn into a pusher.
What have you done with your old stuff?
No, I gave it. It was so wrecked by the time we...
Really?
Three kids.
It was just
no good. Because so three kids, and often people replace their prams every time, but I think we just kept the same one. And we had a buggy board on the back where the oldest child would stand on it and the little one would be in the front.
See, I never had that as a kid. I don't remember being in a pram.
I don't remember. We had those old-fashioned prams like you see the Queen in, you know what I mean? Those big old-fashioned things.
I remember getting the pram wheels for Billy car.
Oh, yeah, they were the best.
They were great. Yeah.
Well, that's good, the whole baby bunny experience. You've been there.
And they had a practice baby there.
Oh, they had a practice baby.
And I just, so then everyone's standing, a lot of pregnant women there.
And so, that staff are very helpful.
Very, very helpful.
Because I reckon a lot of them are mums too when I was there.
But I was sort of playing with a baby and then I jokingly dropped it a couple of times.
You kicked it to your son-in-law.
I did. That's right. I did footy handballing a bit. And
I love when I see an old lady walking down the street with a pram with tinned tomatoes in it and stuff. I love that. Oh, how's your bonus? Or a dog. You see people with dogs in prams.
Yeah, anyway. It was my gesture to
buy the pram.
Buy the pram.
How much? A couple of grand? Higher. More.
You know what's big there? Lay-by.
Oh, lay-by.
Yeah.
It's interesting.
Which I didn't think.
1970s?
Yeah, I didn't think. What's the point of, I guess, you know why?
People don't have the money.
Well, they don't have the money, but they know they want it, and they know that there's a time when they need it.
That's interesting.
So they know the baby's coming then, so they go, bang, we'll have that one, and we'll just play it off, and by the time.
I can remember my mum paying off lay-by in the 70s, going to Meijer to pay off the TV.
I remember as a kid putting on lay-by, and it was just like, I'm going to get that model car.
It's a great way to save, though.
It's a great way. Knock a bit off.
These days, it's just credit cards.
Just go bang. It's very interesting.
It's an interesting world, the world of babies. Oh, well, they're going to have a great time.
Yeah. Well, I reckon you'll be the...
I'll give them knowledge.
Because there's a new show on the ABC called New Dad.
Oh, is it? Right.
I haven't seen it either. There's a thing called New Dad. This is the ABC. New Dad and a show where young people, kids, go and spend time with old people.
Oh, that sounds good, that show.
It does sound good.
Yeah. She should watch The Letdown, which is a great sitcom.
She did.
Oh, yeah, great. Yeah.
She did.
Because yeah. the mother's group and stuff is pretty much on.
Spot on.
One of my friends went to a mother's group. This is years ago. Because mother's groups are meant to be... I mean, I was asked to not attend mother's group. Because I used to go a lot to mother's group, but I was the only man there.
Yeah.
I went and then they said to my wife, we want to talk about more intimate things if David could stay away. One of my friends went to a mother's group and they're all women. And the woman goes, all right, we're going to go around the circle and you've got to say what your husband does for a job. What? It's kind of inappropriate, isn't it?
Yeah.
I'd make shit up. My husband's a...
He's a hitman.
He's a National Geographic photographer.
Yes. I think my husband's a little bit better than your husband.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's very good. So, all right, here's the music.
Hello and welcome to Somehow Related and Now Please. Welcome your hosts, Glenn Robbins and Dave O'Neill.
Welcome to the show.
Somehow related. Two topics. Somehow related. Your job and our job. We're the detectives.
Got to work it out.
We got a whiteboard in here. We've
got assistants. We've got interns. They don't get paid.
We've got researchers. We've got.
I don't know if Sam gets paid.
There's a whole team of people. I'm looking at them now. If we say something, they will just find it straight away.
They set up a lab at uni. Show.
Yeah.
All right. Well, let's get the topics.
Coca-Cola and infant death in the third world.
Oh, that's pretty heavy stuff. You know, I am a big fan of Coca-Cola. I'm a big fan.
I said you're a big fan.
I'm a big fan of sudden infant death in the third world.
You're a big fan. Now, hang on. Let's go back on this.
I'm a big fan of Diet Coke.
First time you remember having Coke?
Oh, well, we used to get soft drink delivered to our house, which annoys my children when I tell them about it.
That was very common in that.
Yeah, we had Crystal drinks.
Yeah,
that was Loy's. There was Noddy's. I did some research on this.
Mosley's.
So they had, what happened in the 70s, they had like little breweries everywhere that would make the soft drink. So you're in the northern suburbs, you would have had a little brewery there. I was in the eastern suburbs. Geelong had their own brewery called Noddy's.
Yeah.
So if you're in Sydney, they would have had their own breweries all around. Amazing. And then they would deliver them on a truck. And we got to choose a flavour a week, and I was always choose pineapple, tropical pine.
And Mum. So hang on, you got a crate.
We got a crate every week. We got like 12 bottles.
12 bottles, which were what, around about a litre?
Yeah, a litre, yeah.
And so you didn't drink anything, but you didn't drink anything but. So you came home when you were thirsty.
Yeah.
And you'd bang down a big glass of sugar.
Yeah. Amazing when you think about it now, isn't it? And Mum would choose the flat. She would go, all right, three orange, three cola, three lemonade. Okay, boys, you can all choose one each. And we'd all choose the weird flavours, you know. So.
And you had cola then?
Yeah, we had cola. We loved cola. And then we'd put out the bottles, and then the kid up the road, Stuart, would come and drink the dregs because he was desperate for the because, you know, we didn't drink.
Drink the dregs.
Yeah, you'd see him sometimes drinking the dregs of the flat stuff.
Where was the...
On the front porch.
He's like an addict.
Well, he, as my partner has pointed out, most people grew up in a house where they had cordial or water or milk. Yeah, cordial on a good day.
Yeah.
Those brown bread houses.
Yeah.
We were more your white trash, I assume, with the soft drink.
Yeah. We didn't have...
You didn't get soft drink delivered?
No. Mum used to have ginger ale and tonic water for her gin and tonics and maybe for the dry ginger and something. And then you'd have friends around and you go, you want a drink? I've just got this dry ginger. And you go, that's awful.
Yeah. Mm. So you wouldn't go get a... Because you could also buy them from the petrol station too or the milk bar.
I don't remember having... No, I don't remember being a part of our...
Do you remember the... Because my dad loved Coke. No wonder I love... My dad loved Coke.
So if your dad does, yeah, so, okay, yeah, right.
Kev, he's 84.
Do a line out the back. After
he's at the RSL. Keith, come and have some Coke with me. No, he always loved, when he met Mum, didn't drink, but he loved Coca-Cola. And so when he was in the Air Force, he drank a lot of Coca-Cola. And I still remember us driving down to the beach on a really hot day, and Mum went into like a hamburger shop, and Dad said, get us a can of Coke, Joyce. And she came back with RC Cola. Which was a cheap imitation of Coke.
RC Cola. Remember the ad for RC, yeah.
And Dad goes, I don't want bloody paint stripper. Take that back.
I want the real deal.
I want the real deal. I want Coke.
He wants, it's the top shelf.
And then occasionally you go to a barbecue and you'd see your diabetic uncle drinking Tab. Remember Tab?
God, you're
beautiful
good.
People. Oh, yeah, but I'm obsessed by soft drink. I love soft
drink. Are you obsessed with?
Food.
Food.
Food and soft drink.
Tab, I remember the ad.
Beautiful people. I think Al McPherson.
Al McPherson did RC, didn't she?
I think she did Tab. I think Al McPherson was in Tab. She was beautiful people. Was it Al?
Oh, should we ask?
Sam, who did the...
ad for RC Cola.
Oh, no, I go Tab first. I reckon Tab.
Al McPherson was in the Tab commercial. I put a link into the ad in the show notes.
I met Al.
You've met Al McPherson?
Sorry, she met me. You know what struck me about her? Her height.
Oh, she's short.
Oh, tall.
Oh, she's very tall.
Yeah.
Yeah, right.
And incredibly attractive.
Yeah.
Breathtakingly, probably more attractive in the flesh than she. And slightly disarming.
She really?
Probably wasn't as, maybe, yeah, just wasn't.
Wasn't a big fan of the Glenn Robbins?
No, meaning she was, you know, disarming meaning made you feel okay. You know,
oh, okay.
Yeah, yeah. Wasn't a big fan of Glenn. Well, you're not a big fan.
Sorry, who are you?
I think at that period it would have been Uncle Arthur. It would have been Uncle Arthur.
Oh, you play that dirty old man. Yeah, sure. Anyway.
So, Coke. So,
but there's
to
also,
this day then. So, to this day, you a Coke a day?
Diet Coke, definitely. I'm trying to give up, but it's been very
so
hard.
So, you're addicted?
I'm addicted to Diet Coke.
Do you think it's caffeine?
Definitely. I've also always liked, I don't drink hot drinks. You know, I don't drink coffee or tea.
So when you have a Coke, what do you feel like?
I feel good. I feel refreshed. I feel like party people. What do they say? What was that Coke slogan? Anyway, no, I just like soft drink. I've always liked fizzy drinks. So I like soda water too. I just like soda water. And now, see, this has really annoyed me. They bought out Coke Zero, right?
It's just got the flavour. Nothing in it.
It's very similar to Diet Coke. It's sugar-free. They use chemicals for the sweetness. Yeah, they use
that. What's the...
Good stuff, you know. But Coke Zero, what they found was Diet Coke had a bit of a stigma attached to it because it was called Diet Coke. Because in Europe it's called Coke Light. But here, so like young tradies wouldn't buy it.
Interesting.
And so they bought a Coke Zero in a black can, so it was macho, and it became this huge hit with tradies and young men and women. And so that's the one that they have on planes now. They call it sugar-free now. They've got rid of Coke Zero. They call it sugar-free, which is Coke Zero. It's the same thing. It's a sharper Pepsi-style flavour, I believe. And Diet Coke has got more of a soda water flavour. And a Coke rep told me this once. Diet Coke's more soda water-ish.
Because like I got a new credit card the other day and it was a darker colour grey, but my friend who's got a credit card, it's black.
Yeah, that's very masculine, isn't it?
So if you have something, yeah. So
masculine corporate.
Yeah, so a black can of Coke.
As opposed to a white silver can, which is Diet Coke.
Yeah, it's a bit more man. You know what the old bottle was based on?
No.
A bean.
Oh, it's a bean.
A cocoa bean, yeah, like that.
Oh, that's interesting.
Yeah,
that's
so.
Somehow related right there.
Yeah, it was. So you think of that, what the little raisings around it, and that, and the top of it. It's.
I'm just really worried they're going to phase Diet Coke out and just have.
Oh, they must be under the pump now. Sure, of late, I reckon profits would have dropped.
Because you go to some blue collar areas, like a Greasy Spoon in like Narre Warren or somewhere, they don't even have Diet Coke in the fridges. They just have all Coke Zero.
Oh, really?
Yeah, they don't bother with Diet
Coke. So what'll happen? It'll go into the black market. Yeah. You'll have to go and meet some guy in a back alleyway.
In Craigieburn.
Yeah, and something you'll end up, it'll end up being like the old Craig days where you'll bring it around to your house.
Because when I was in Denmark, they didn't have Diet Coke. They just had Coke Zero and cola. There's normal Coke.
You're good with ingredients. What are the ingredients, do you reckon?
Of Coke?
Yeah. Or what are they simulating? What is cola simulating?
Well, the cola bean, isn't it? So it's a bean, isn't it?
I think the flavours that are, there are lemon, nutmeg and cinnamon.
Oh, there is lemon, yeah. There is.
Can you taste cinnamon or lemon?
No, but I can taste a bit of lemon, yeah, definitely.
I got to admit, I don't drink Coke.
You have a Diet Coke occasionally.
But when I do, but there's, you know that one you get in the pub?
Postmix.
Oh, it's not good.
No, that's often Schweppes though. Oh, that's Schweppes cola.
Oh, it's not good. So, but when you're really
thirsty. What about a McDonald's post-mix Coke?
Is that all right?
Very good.
It's like very top shelf. Good. That's your top shelf.
Well, it's a little bit watered down, but with the ice, I like it.
I do.
Do you prefer Fanta?
You know why they came out? Do you know why it came out in cans?
No, I don't know why.
For the soldiers.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Man, you are full of facts. Why do they bring a Coke in cans? Because of the soldiers.
Yeah. So they could have the same, they could get their fix of cola in a can. I guess it would have been easier to be, because you can get a can easier dropped into a battlefield than you can.
Yeah, that's interesting. Well, it's like M&M's. We've done M&M's before on this podcast, and that was created by the Spanish in the Civil War because it didn't melt in their pockets.
So that's right.
Cans are similar.
Yeah.
But there was this whole urban myth with Diet Coke in the Iraq, one of the Gulf Wars, where they reckon they left it out in the sun for too long and it had an effect on the soldiers. Something happened to it.
Oh, really?
And I've Googled it. I can't find it. But I remember reading it somewhere.
Is it true that if you drop money into it, that they'll...
Oh, that it disappears?
No. It cleans
the money. But have you ever done the Mentos and Diet Coke thing?
No.
Have you ever seen that on Letterman and stuff, where the guys, and it spurts up in the air?
No.
Oh, it's amazing. Because it has this chemical reaction where you drop Mentos into Diet Coke and it squirts in the air.
And you're pouring that. See, I'm seeing a naturopath at the moment. And my gut flora.
Oh, don't tell me. They're telling you the black, as you said, black water can't be good.
It's black water.
It's black fizzy water.
Black fizzy water.
Oh, I love it.
You know that North Korea doesn't have Coca-Cola? That's the only place in the world that doesn't have Coca-Cola. Yeah.
That's interesting. I'd like to go there.
So you can't have, but you wouldn't be able to have your can of Coke.
I'd have to bring it in, but they'd probably tip it out at the border. None of this. Tip out the border.
I'm not proud of this, but we went through a period where we were trying to cut back on the amount of wine that we're having at home.
Yeah.
So Selena would add, I think, soda water to some.
Oh, fizzy, yeah.
So I had soda water. Oh, this is really embarrassing because my brother loves red wine and he was just the sacrilegious too.
Oh, you add soda water to red wine?
Yeah.
Oh, that's like Portello. It's like a Portello soft
drink. Spain, see, this is where it comes back to Coke. In Spain, it's very because they want to drink the cheap wine because they're down on the beach and stuff.
Mm.
They add Coca-Cola to it to give a bit of a woof. It's called a calmucho, isn't it?
Oh, really?
Yeah, calmucho. Yeah. And so it's a recognised drink. And just between you and me,
pretty good.
That's what I drink when I'm on Have You Been Paying Attention?
Really?
Yeah, I have one of those because it gives me the red wine. The red wine gives me a little bit loosey-goosey, but the caffeine gives me so you get a loosey-goosey lift.
That's a good idea. You should market this. Glenn Robbins' loosey-goosey juice.
Loosey-goosey juice. So, yeah, I
perfect.
Yeah.
Well, no, I love Coke. But you know what? That is actually, that maybe you're getting somewhere because Coke, you can find it everywhere. I remember my brother, and my twin brother Glenn, who speaks like this, you know, he works for a different third world organization. No, he works for aid organizations. Yep. He lives in Switzerland, but he goes to the Congo. He was based in Somalia for a while, Rwanda, and he goes,
what are you doing in?
Yeah. Comedian. And he said you can get Coke everywhere.
Everywhere.
And he said he's been to countries where it's anarchy. Yeah. Like Somalia for a while, it's just anarchy. No one's in charge. But he goes, there's Coke shops. Because they all do deals with the warlords or whatever. Commerce wins. He goes, there'll always be Coke.
But having said that, if you had a choice between drinking the local water
and Coke,
you were always going to go Coke or beer.
Can't speak for Fanta. I don't think Fanta's got as big a reach. Or Sprite.
And Fanta was created why?
In the Nazis. We learned that. That was the very first episode we did.
Yeah,
Nazi Germany.
And they didn't have their own Coke. No. You think they would have come up with a black drink rather than an orange drink?
Yeah, that's a good point.
Anyway.
I've read more about that since we talked about it. It was heavily promoted at the Nazi Olympics in Berlin when it was 36.
Those Coke ads, like when in our youth, were just
they were great.
So powerful. I mean, they
were you a fan of Mad Men?
Yeah.
Did you see the last episode of Mad Men?
No, I didn't watch the last series. Oh. I watched the first two series and got a bit bored, but I thought it was a soap opera.
Okay.
How dare you, Glenn?
Anyway, they use a Coke ad to end the series, the whole series.
Oh, that's a great song.
Yeah.
Could we play that as thing?
We should play that instead of...
What is it?
It's a Coke ad. I don't know. It's like a... Anyway, Don Draper, the character, goes away to a hippie commune. He gets inspired.
Yeah.
Coke is life. Life is beautiful. Something like that.
So what were they saying? What's the?
Well, I just message. No, there? I just wondered when the guy writing that show, he had that ad in mind for the whole. He must have had that in mind for to end the series.
You know? I can hear the song. I will have to have think music because now I want to hear it. I can see a group of people sitting around on the top of a hill, and they pan across or something.
Yeah, and they're all
and they've done different versions of it. They've done updated versions of it. Something, the word help. I'm seeing the word help.
Help me if you can. No,
anyway. I don't want to talk about infant death, but we kind of have to. In third world countries, wasn't it?
Yeah, in third world countries. So, all I know, because of my brother, Glenn, you know, he tells me, because he currently has been working for the water aid, so... You know, I go to the Congo and we help get the clean water programs. He doesn't speak this.
But it's a better character if you do it like that.
And so they've been helping get better water for the Congo. And I just.
What do you do again? You're a comedian?
I'm a comedian.
Yeah. Yeah.
But we've both got arts. No, I've got a teaching. We've both got arts degrees, actually. So he's done very well, Glenn.
But maybe you should be doing comedy for the third world.
Maybe I should get it. Well, this is interesting because when he was in Somalia, he used to tour with a group of comedians to spread the word of...
Oh, he didn't ask you to come over?
No. Very hurtful.
You got any third world country jokes?
No, what happened? I think, but often he would say comedians are the first to be hung and shot, though, in these countries.
Because they...
They make fun of the government.
Yeah.
So they're the first. He found it hard to find the comedians in Somalia because most of them had fled. They'd all gone, I'm getting out of here. Anyway, so infant death is often to do with water, I think, and
waterborne,
dirty water, waterborne diseases,
hepatitis, is that
cholera?
Cholera.
What's the one that Bill Gates?
By the way, if you're going to go to Bali, take cholera, and you'll give yourself a good coverage for what you can get in Bali.
Another Bali tip.
Yeah,
a lot of Bali tips on this podcast.
Yeah,
over
because my partner goes there three times a year.
Right.
She got me to take cholera, and last time I went, I didn't get anything except I got something on the plane the way home. I got on the plane the other day, and have I told you this? And the people next to us are squirting down the seats. I'm going, that's a bit excessive.
No.
And then I went, that's a really good idea. No, wipes.
They're wiping the seat down.
No, they're wiping down the tray.
It does have a lot of bacteria.
And then I got home after I got back and ended up with this crappy head coldy thing. Should have wiped down my tray.
You should have. Well, that's a great travel tip. If you're traveling Geelong, there's a good hamburger shop on the left. There you go.
Hey, there is coming out of Geelong. It's a truckie stop. Would you buy a burger at a truckie stop?
Yeah.
If you had the choice between a truckie stop and a McDonald's, where would you go?
We go to the truck stop, probably. The Cariah Roadhouse you're talking about.
Yeah, but I'm saying if you had the options in a remote town. Because you know when you go to a remote town and they've got a McDonald's, you just tend to lean towards McDonald's because you know what you're going to get. But
I like a fish and chip shop hamburger, though. Love them. Anyway.
Anyway, so I thought it would... So it's got nothing to do with SIDS.
Oh, no, no. See, that's I think that's a Western.
Yeah, because they're it's something.
That's not third world. I think that's SIDS is basically. One of my friends worked for SIDS. She was a psychologist, and she would go out and interview the mums whose the babies had died. Full on job, and try and get research together. But SIDS has dropped off a bit because
the awareness.
Yeah, the awareness.
Yeah,
because often it's blankets and stuff in the cot, and sleeping with the
and mattresses that are too soft.
Yeah, you're right. There's something to do with the mattress.
Yeah.
But also, I remember when we had babies, they would sleep in the bed with us occasionally. And I still remember radio talking about and Husey berating me, don't let the babies, you'll kill the babies. Well,
it's reasonable because you wouldn't know, would you?
No, but the thing is, you're not
going to. You end up doing it.
You're not going to kill. Well, he ended up with his babies in his bed too, because you get to a point where you're like, the baby won't shut up.
Yeah.
Put it in between us and it will fall asleep in the warm. Mm. It'll go back to the womb or whatever and you have a good night. Anyway, you have a better sleep. But also, the research shows if you're really obese, you could roll on the baby or you're drunk or drug affected. So I was all three, so I was worried. But the kids are still alive and they're teenagers, so they've done all right. But I would go to sleep with my son Jasper, the oldest one, cradled in my arm sometimes. Because he wouldn't
what a great dad you are.
Great dad.
Have you ever been offered dad of the year?
No. They always give it to a cricketer who's away 9 months of the year. In a hotel room in India. Father of the year. Yeah, right.
Yeah.
Via Skype. You've got to be careful, but that's how most people in the third world sleep with their kids, in the bed with them. So.
Yeah. There's got to be something good about sleeping in the bed with the kids.
Yeah.
But there's also good. So you would imagine. So what you're
saying
is.
The worst thing would be, though, and then they transfer into a cot, but the cot sometimes stays in your bedroom, right? Because they want to be close to you and if a wife's still feeding the baby. But what would happen? You'd be having a good night's sleep, and then you hear this, wah, wah, and the kid would be standing up in the cot, and they just try and stare at you, and you pretend to be asleep.
Right.
Dad! And it's like, go to sleep. I'm not awake, mate. I'm not awake.
Because there's the thing now we're also looking at when we're at baby bunting, that you have the sort of bassinets that can just. The level is similar to the bed height.
Oh, yeah, I've seen those. See, that's a new development.
Yeah, so you just flop it down and you can lean over and for that because they do the two-hour feeding.
Yes. And where, also, I just remember leaning over and the baby would wake up and just patting it across my wife. She was dead to the world. I'm just patting it with my hand.
She was pretending to be dead.
And then the baby would go back to sleep. You pat it or rock it for a bit or move the cot a bit and they go back to sleep.
Yeah.
Baby tips.
And now that's how I put you to sleep when we're on tour. I just lean over and give you a bit of a shake.
Pat.
Yeah. So what you're saying is that it was waterborne and now we've got Coca-Cola in the mix, excuse the pun.
Well, maybe.
So that would point us in a certain direction.
What's the one that Bill Gates' wife and them, they did that great, they've done that great campaign. They've stopped a lot of, with just one injection, you can stop a lot of, might be typhoid or something like that. They're big campaigners in the third world.
I know they're getting one for. No,
I mean I am an anti-vaxxer, so you know.
You are. You're big on the anti-vax. Some of your mates aren't. Some of your.
I want it. No, well known that I'm. No, let's not. Let's not say that.
Don't even go there.
Don't even go there. It's not worth. Not making girlfriend. Worth making jokes about it.
Yeah. No, it's not. So, well, I've got to say, in that little bit of information, you've led us down a road that's interesting. So, how should we?
We have some thinking music.
Can we have
the cokehead?
I'd like to buy the world a home and furnish it with love. Grow apple trees and honeybees and snow white turtle doves. I'd like to teach the world to sing.
Sing with me.
Perfect harmony.
Perfect harmony.
I'd like to buy the world a book and keep it company.
That's the real thing. Now, do
I
you
like
reckon
to
what came
first?
I wonder what came first. Did they write the song? Was that already written and they plucked out the real thing? Because that's the Coke Byline, isn't it?
Yeah, it
the
is.
Real
yeah,
thing. The real thing. What do you reckon came first, the lyric or the whether they put that lyric? Anyway, it doesn't matter.
Oh, that's interesting. Again, see, that's why I wondered about that whole episode of Mad Men. Did that guy have that ad in his mind head. The whole time when he was writing probably. The episode? Yeah, probably.
Probably did.
He probably didn't write the whole episode and go, I need an ad to finish on.
And you've watched the whole series. What did it mean to you?
No, it just meant that Dom was back. He'd come up with a genius idea to get himself back into the advertising world. Because, spoiler alert, I can't remember what happens, but he gets kicked out and he becomes out of favour. Because he's like the creative genius in the advertising agency, in the advertising world. Then he gets kicked out and he goes on this journey and blah, blah. And then he gets his ad and it means that he's back.
Well, I tell you what, to me it means like the world of advertising just kept on climbing. Coke represents the ultimate advertising. When you saw those ads, remember there was one where they were
aspirational, inside bubbles.
Yeah, and you're going, whatever they're doing, and then they would slide and then they jump and bounce off a bubble
into the water.
I go, I want to do that.
Yeah.
And it's always with young
people. My kids have done that at a fun park and it's not as much fun as you think.
Yeah, but the world, you just wanted to be part of that world.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Well, it's hard to come up with what the connection is between Coca-Cola.
Maybe I should go first.
Go on. And
I reckon in the third world, they didn't have water. There was problems with water. They drank Coke. And because it had... Oh, it used to have cocaine in it too, didn't it? But that would have been... But it wouldn't have got to the third... would have only got to the third world, in the 70s probably?
Yeah,
80s. That they found that it stimulated the babies because of the caffeine. And it somehow... avoided, so it was a tonic against SIDS, I suppose, but that's probably not right. Anyways,
it's a tonic against infant death, which can be different diseases.
Because if Coke can clean up a bit of money, it can clean the bacteria out of your gut. Is that what they're saying?
I think it's got something to do with you can get a Coke anywhere, and so as my brother pointed out. It's got some. I don't know what the connection is, but you can get a Coke in the third world.
But what's that got to do with infant death?
But you can get Coke everywhere. Maybe they're using the distribution system of Coke. Because this is the thing: how do they get that? Where does it come from? And why can't they get medical supplies to the same places that Coke's going?
So you're saying that maybe that was the angle they took. Don't give your baby the water. Give them Coke, and they'll be okay.
Maybe.
They were sort of piggybacking.
Well, let's get the answer.
Yeah.
Sam, what is the answer?
Simon Berry, an aid worker in Zambia in the 1980s, noticed that you could get a Coca-Cola just about anywhere on Earth. The company's supply chain reached further than clean water or government aid. In some third world countries, the second biggest killer of infant children was diarrhea, which is easily treated with an oral rehydration solution containing salt, sugar, and water. Years later, in 2011, Simon created AirPod, a single wedge-shaped container that fits between the necks of bottles in a Coca-Cola crate transporting an anti-diarrhea kit. The package has been able to piggyback on Coke's distribution system and reach many remote areas. For more information, check the show notes in your podcast app.
Thanks, Sam. That's incredible. So we're basically right. So they're optimizing.
Yeah, what a great idea. But
they're commercialising something. But then again, they are probably helping infant death.
Diarrhea is the biggest cause of infant death in the third world.
You have been listening to Somehow Related with Glenn Robbins and Dave O'Neill.
And so what this guy has done, he's a genius. He's noticed that you can get Coke everywhere, but you can't always get dehydration tablets. And so he's created this thing that gets sent out with the Coke bottles. Because apparently, I remember my brother was saying that what happens is that things like Coke and all the big, baby formula as well, they're all distributed, but then there's all little small trucks and stuff that go. They're not necessarily Coke trucks, what I mean? But they've got these guys on motorbikes and stuff taking it out to these remote areas because they're making money out of it.
Right, yeah.
But you're not making money out of diarrhea tablets. And so it's a genius idea to put packs of diarrhea tablets in the top of the Coke crate.
So it's a win-win.
It's amazing. And Coke agreed to do it. Well, there you go.
Yeah. But what came first, though? The desire to do something.
Oh, no, the desire to make money.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because
yeah.
I heard of a stockbroker who, when he witnessed 9/11, he went out the next day, airline stocks plummeted.
Of course.
And he just went in big on airline stocks and made a fortune.
Yeah, that's...
He also bought cement and he bought construction. You're going, it's horrible.
Yeah, it's making money out of people's misery.
Yeah, horrible. Yeah, that's how those guys work. You go, So he was watching it on television going, how can I optimise this?
Hey, Sandra, just get up the stocks on...
Let's go buy cement.
Insurance.
And,
insurance would be another big one, wouldn't it? Insurance. Yes. Insurance go down. Yeah. Oh, that's not good.
Yeah.
That's not good. Well, that's interesting, isn't it? It's interesting.
Do you know what a parable is?
Isn't it something that's similar to each other that runs like a parallel line?
What's
a parable?
Oh, parable. Is it?
Well, you tell me what you think it is.
Maybe I should look it up. What is a parable? Is it a? It's those religious stories that have meaning that you have to kind of work out.
Oh,
is that a parable?
I think there might be a parable. We can ask Sam. Sam, what's a parable?
A parable is a succinct didactic story in prose or verse that illustrates one or more instructive lessons or principles. It differs from a fable in that fables employ animals, plants, inanimate objects, or forces of nature as characters, whereas parables have human characters. A parable is a type of analogy.
I don't know, maybe this is a parable or it's a... So thank you.
Or Sam. Fable.
A fable. But okay, this is interesting. Well, I've said it is, maybe it isn't. To a couple of fish, right? Swimming.
Yeah.
This is your parable or your fable. And as they're swimming along, an older fish swims the other way.
Huh.
And the older fish says to the younger fish, how's the water? And the younger fish keep on swimming, and then one turns to the other and says, what's water?
Oh,
did I just blow your mind?
Mind blown.
Mind blown. Oh.
Wow.
What do you reckon? What do you I know what I think of water. What's water?
Well, they don't know the existence of water. Well, is it living within it?
Yeah, well, my idea is that we're all in the same. We're all in the water together. Some of us know and some of us don't know.
Oh, well, I was walking on the other day and an old guy said to me, how's the air? I said, shut the fuck up.
Get him away.
Interested in new books? Subscribe to Chapter One. Chapter One is a new podcast with me, Nellie Thomas. Each episode, you'll hear the first chapter of a new release book from top publishers. Subscribe and listen to Chapter One, a new podcast with me, Nellie Thomas. Search for Chapter One where you're listening now.